Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Gotta patch. Drag is the new.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeVere here, and we are back again. It is time to talk drag. We have not done this in a while. We did, so we chatted a little bit. I made a proclamation on our last episode that this episode was going to happen, and I kept my word. So we are going to fly across the pond, and we are going to chat Drag Race UK Season 5. And to join me in our conversation, we have got Eric.
Hello.
And Brian.
Brr, I'm so cold. I don't know why. It's just cold.
I was like, how cold is it there? Because it's like 30 some odd degrees here. Oh, 40, yeah, something like that.
It's warmer than where you are, for sure. I saw the pictures. But no, I don't know. My house is just cold. So I'm bundling up in my Kumamon blanket all snuggly.
Yeah, we had snow yesterday, and it was the most ridiculous like weather pattern ever, because I don't know about, I mean, I work just shy of 10 miles from where I live, and where I live is a bit closer to the lake. I work right off of the Chicago River, but you know, obviously the river doesn't affect the weather like that. But we were watching as like every 15 minutes, it would go from clear, sunny fall day. Like you look outside and you're like, oh, it looks like a crisp fall day. Let's put on a scarf and drink apple cider, to practically white out blizzard conditions. About every 15 minutes, it cycled through this repeatedly for a couple of hours. And it was the most insane thing. It was like, what is happening right now? Because at points, like especially at the beginning, there wasn't enough time for the snow to really stick. And then by the end, it had accumulated maybe an eighth of an inch. Like it wasn't a lot, but then at least it still was there, and you knew that it snowed. And then apparently there was like some hail and like thunder snow showers.
Thunder
last
snow!
Night.
Oh my god, yeah. I love thunder snow.
I was so preoccupied with everything else going on last night that I did not even notice that. But yeah. And my knees are fucking still trying to recover from last night. The older I get, the more I realize I cannot wear young women's heels because holy fuck, my knees hurt so bad today.
My ankles would die, and then the knees go. Oh, but, yeah. But we have to know what the weather's like in sunny Florida right now. Is it below 90 right now? Is it actually like nice enough?
It is. It was in the mid 70s today.
What?
Cold snap. A cold snap has run through Florida.
Everyone had their sweaters, their hoodies, their parkas. Oh yes.
The UGG boots have come out. Yep. The PSLs are being sipped right now.
Oh my god.
It's Christian Girl Autumn in Florida right now. But yes, so that is our weather report. I did drag last night, so it was in right in time for this conversation about Drag Race. I was making my audition tape. That's why I was in drag, everybody.
Of course. I mean, season 16 is coming up soon.
I'm going to be Butterface, the first eliminated queen of season 69. For those of you listening that are caught up to, was that episode 5? Are we halfway through the season? The Panto Rusical? Mm-hmm. You'll get it. Brian is not caught up on the show right now, but we will be talking the first 5 episodes of Drag Race UK season 5. We're going to talk about the drama. We're going to monetize the drama that, you know, many other Drag Race YouTubers have already talked about. We're going to talk about our thoughts on the queens of the season. And, you know, maybe we'll do some wild speculation and picks for who we think will snatch the crown and one of the 75,000 repeater badges being given away per season. Because that's just how things go. So let's go ahead. Let's dive into it. Obviously, we're on season 5 of Drag Race. Oh, before we start, since we're talking Drag Race UK, guess who I saw here in person 2 weekends ago? It might be a little longer from when we're releasing this, but at Drag Brunch at Roscoe's.
Something Wong.
No. But to tie into, we were talking about this off of before we started recording here. Who was I dressed in drag as? Reba McEntire.
Yeah.
Who has been doing her, who's been making her way across the world in her new Reba fantasy. Have y'all not seen the pictures? She was just in Orlando for Pride. Ms. Bag of Chips.
Yes. Oh, I did see that. Yeah. She looks good. She's had a lot of work done. I'm thinking
continually. She's had much work done over the last 5 years.
Like, I didn't even recognize her at first. I mean, I think she was in drag, but either way, I was like, who is that? And I'm like, Bag of Chips. So yeah, no, she looks great.
Well, and the funny part was that I didn't realize she was doing like a Reba like illusion, but I was like, wow, Bag of really looks, you know, really is going for a Reba thing. And then I saw, oh my God, was it Cheryl? Cheryl or Blue, I think it was, commented on one of Baga's posts and said, oh, did you have to get the lip filler removed to do your Reba illusion? And I was like, oh my God, yes.
A little too much on that one.
Yeah, but it was almost, I think it was a little over 4 years from when I met Baga the first time at DragCon New York, right before season 1 of Drag Race UK premiered. And I there was a special place in my heart for Bag of Chips, and it happened to be my birthday brunch at Roscoe's. So it was a lovely little coincidence. And now we're talking season 5. So we are going to jump into the conversation. It started on, was it the 28th of September? Yeah, it feels like it's been a lot longer that it's been on this season. There's been so much going on about it. But premiered on the 28th of this year, of September. And we have had a number of episodes with noticeably less eliminations this season. There are only 10 queens featured on this program.
10 named queens.
10 queens that have been named and featured on the show. Okay, so you may have just stumbled onto this episode as a new listener, or maybe you just listen to certain Microsoft topics because that's more your jam, and we absolutely understand that, and we appreciate you listening, no matter how you choose to listen. But we did touch on this a little bit at the end of our last episode, our roundup for the month of October. But we're going to dive into it anyway. So there were supposed to be 12 queens, correct?
Yep.
Eric, well, do you want to...
12 queens cast.
12, yes, 12 were cast. So do you want to dive into a little bit of what the... why there's only 10 featured queens on this season?
So apparently there was a personal emergency that came up, what, 5 or 6 days before filming was to start, and a queen
Did she hit the she emergency button?
I think so.
the fake siren, and then Yara Sophia ran in to finish the lip sync. No,
exactly. So sorry, I had to. That's okay. I mean, enough isn't said about All Stars 1. So anytime we can bring that back up, people forget.
If you're having a she emergency, hit the button.
But somebody had a personal emergency right before filming was supposed to start and dropped out, and it was too late to get a replacement queen brought in on that short of notice. So that dropped the number down to 11. So 11 queens entered the workroom. Well, 10 named queens and someone's part of a wig or part of a shoulder.
A sleeve.
Has been seen on the video where BBC has tried to edit the person out as much footage as humanly possible due to some allegations that came up in the middle of filming as opposed to after the season had fully been filmed, a la Sherry Pie from season 12? 13?
Yep.
12.
12.
Yep. So the queen was asked to leave after the second episode was filmed and has been edited out, and no official release of their name or anything has been made public as of this moment.
In fact, nothing's been made public because the allegation only surfaced on Reddit from a reliable, potentially reliable source. And the allegation is BBC is just covering it all up by not acknowledging and in any way, shape or form that this was a thing that existed. They're revisionist historying it, but also the other side would be they don't want to give any additional attention to this queen who has these allegations. So it works for both sides, I guess, to some extent. But the word is out, and several of us have been very delighted, probably all of us, in trying to spot the loony. Now, spot the like little bits of this imaginary Waldo that's on the screen in the first two episodes. I definitely the first episode, and I know that there's been some internet sleuthing about this. There's moments that we've seen for sure. You can find if you're looking. If you're not looking, I don't know if you actually would even notice.
The second episode, because that's how I watched it.
Yeah,
yeah, but you would notice certain kind of interesting things, like there's no wide shot of all the queens in a line when like RuPaul first enters the workroom, or even on the runways, there's never a time where you can see all the queens down the line before critiques or anything like that. So just not keeping with tradition as far as camera shots.
I watch because it's an English language show, I tend to do other stuff. I'm very like on my phone, or I'm paying attention to something else and listening. So there were points where like the runway would happen, and then I would be like, oh shit, what happened? Knowing that there was another queen that was edited out, because there's been all of this talk of, oh, it's amazing how they were able to just line it up perfectly. Because the two runways that they did, they were in roughly the same spot in both runways, being in the back. So it's kind of funny, but yeah, it is interesting going back and looking at both, because from both sides of it, you know, I see where, like, I'm definitely with both of you on that, because it is a little bit of like try to spot, and then it's when I remember, it's like, okay, wait, which one is there? And then I would see like some of the blonde curly wig and go, oh, that's her behind there. And I think Brian had stumbled upon who the internet said too vague, say their name, and may have come across something. And would you like to share the name that you have stumbled across?
You know, it's funny you say that, because I remember we talked about it, but I have actually like hidden their name in my brain, because like it's no, a lot of the videos are not specifically not saying their name, whether because it's allegations or whatever, but
yeah,
it's like Crystal Lubricant or something.
There you go.
It was an odd name. Like what? Like that's
all coming
really
back.
That sounds really painful. I'm probably addictive in some way, shape, or form. But I don't know.
I love Crystal.
But not up my ass. No, I don't know anything about this person. I actually have not really gone too much deeper than just the name. But yeah, if this is news to you, the listener, like, please go look up some of the videos that show, or for your own exercise, go watch the first two episodes and do the freeze frame. Oh crap, I missed it. Gotta go back. Oh, okay, now I'm gonna get it again. Nope, I missed it again. It'll like triple the length of your watching the episode, but it's fun. It's a fun party game for everyone.
Girl, I watched the first two episodes on 1.5 speed because I kept falling asleep. So I don't think I could do that. I'll let somebody else do all the sleuthing for me. I just looked for the wig in the back, but yeah, those scenes where you can see a sleeve or an arm or a shoulder, they did a relatively good job.
They did a very good job. I mean, honestly, other than like Eric said, with the traditions of the editing that you expect, the types of shots and all that, you would not, unless you were a very astute viewer paying very close attention, realize anything was different, except for those key differences. But I did just watch the third episode, by the way, and I wasn't entirely sure if that's when it sort of normalized and they had left. But then the beginning of the first third episode, rather, you get a delightful wide shot of everybody standing there, and they do the girl group breakup. Like at that point, thank God they found out, because it would've been a lot harder to edit somebody out of those performances than these other things they did prior.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I watched the third episode. Third episode came out when I was in San Francisco, and Jamie, deep friend of the pod, he made a comment about that. He was like, wait a minute, do they just do a full like wide shot of all of the queens? He's like, how many queens are there? And we went back, paused it, and like counted out the number
count
of
the
queens.
Got to count the feet. You're like, just to make sure, because they did that in a couple of the shots in the first two, where if you count the feet, you can actually see, oh, wait, that's an extra shoe. But because the way they're standing, it's like I said, it's really impressive that they were able to do what they did. I guess one of the things that I watched today was there was a, I think it was the first episode, there was like a pit crew holding disco balls, and it was like a one shot of them just standing there, and then they never go back to them. And so the theory is that there was some kind of mini game thing, mini challenge that involved them extensively with this person or whatever, and so they just cut the whole thing, but they kept that one shot of the ball, of the, because why not? It's the pit crew with the balls, like, of course you're gonna keep that in there. So yeah, it's just fascinating from a video editing perspective. I don't know, from a modern television production perspective, this has just been fascinating and far more interesting than the Sherry Pie stuff. Honestly, the Sherry Pie stuff was like, yeah, okay, fine, but yeah.
Well, and that was so rushed to edit. Like, they did not have, they had what, a week?
Oh yeah.
From yeah, it was right before episode. The season started airing.
Yeah. Well, it was like, I think it was right after episode one. I think the first episode had aired. They had an extra week because she was in the first group. And then like after, not even the Meet the Queens. It was after the first episode. Oh, yeah.
Because they kept the Meet the Queens and everything.
Yes, yeah. And then they announce afterwards and like then had that like title card that would come up. And I to kind of jump back to what you were saying, Brian, I get it. It is a very tough thing. Like, you can sit there and say, oh, they're just trying to sweep it under the rug. They're trying to cover it up. But these are allegations. You know, I don't even know what the full allegations are. I'm assuming that it's some form of sexual assault. That's what I'd heard, that it was akin to Sherry Pie. But Sherry Pie's situation was a very specific form of sexual assault. Like, I don't think this queen in the UK was pretending to be a casting agent. using a false name and like doing those specific things. But you know, like, we had one of the Scarlets in Down Under, who, like, that was a blackface issue and, like, you know, race related things. So I believe that this is it's tied to some form of sexual abuse, sexual assault allegations. And again, we live in a world where, from a, or at least in the US, the UK is different. I'm going to speak just in general terms here, from my very myopic view of the world. But from a law standpoint, you are innocent until proven guilty. However, in the court of public opinion, the person who screams the loudest is usually the one that gets to kind of direct the narrative. So to not speak about it when it is just allegations does take them out of the kind of fueling the fire aspect of it. Because Sherry, when it came down to Sherry Pie, Sherry admitted to, yes, I did this. So the allegations were not necessarily allegations. They were confirmed by the person that was being accused. So they were able to get ahead of that to an extent and say, let's put this title card up. Any money that we awarded her, we are going to donate to these organizations. We're going to do this to offset what's happened that we did not know about. But, you know, and the thing that I guess kind of ties into it is, people will say, well, they should do better background checks. Not everybody speaks up right when things happen. These things aren't always known. You know, if somebody is dealing with these things and has not spoken up, but says, I want to speak up now because this person is about to have a huge platform, I need to make it known, that's their choice. That's, you know, it's up to them to decide when their story is going to be shared. So it is very interesting. I do commend the editors for being able to go through. They did have more time, which is definitely great for that. It did seem very, to your point, Eric, very odd in some cases if you're paying attention to it. But if you weren't, or if you were just kind of casually watching, overall, a great job. But let's dive into some episode-specific chat. But before that, we want to thank you, dear listeners, for joining us on every episode that you listen to. Or if you listen to them all, we love you even more. Not that, you know, we play favorites, but those of you who've been around and listen all the time, you're our favorites. But we do this because we enjoy it. We would love that you join us for this pop culture and just kind of random topic talking sometimes. And if you are so inclined, go check out our website, flameonshow.com. You can also check out our linktree.com/flameonshow. There you can find all of our links to our social media, how you can contact us via email or social media, as well as our merch shop. If you'd like to buy some Flame On swag, you can do so there. And if you do that, please send us pictures. We love to see it, as well as just, you know, letting us know that you're enjoying the show. We love feedback. We love to hear what topics you want to hear us talk about. If we are talking about a specific topic and you've got your own two cents you want to join into the conversation with, please do. We love it. We love to hear from you. And sometimes we'll even chat about it on the show. That is all found on our website, flameonshow.com, or go to linktr.ee/flameonshow. And we thank you so much for your support.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
All right. Let's talk about some specific things from the show. I don't think we need to do like a full deep dive in each episode because, yeah, that'd be a little extensive, especially for the first half of the season. But Eric and I have seen all five of the episodes that have been released as of our recording. I think episode 6 comes out tomorrow. The Thursday releases, if I'm not mistaken.
I watch on Friday. I don't know if there's a certain time on Thursday that they release, like if it's late American hours or...
It's usually like 3... It's like 8... is whatever 8 o'clock is in like the UK, or 8 or 9 p.m. We usually get it because I remember... like I get the emails from WoW saying, oh, a new episode is out. So I think we're coming up on 6. So it'll be very soon. And it's going to be Snatch Game. So I'm kind of excited to see what this cast does with Snatch Game. But we've seen the first 5. Brian has seen the first 3. So we will dive in. We'll start with Brian since you have only seen the first 3. What has stood out to you? Who has stood out to you? What do you think of the Queen so far in the first part of season 5?
Well, I mean, in terms of what has stood out to me, I think it's really just the Queens. The format of the show, the production, it's all very standard World of Wonder Drag Race. I mean, nothing has been like, oh, wow, this is so fresh. I will say I did not watch season 3 or 4 of Drag Race UK. I think I did watch season 2. I know I watched season 1. I think I watched season 2. Who won season 2?
Lawrence Cheney.
Yes, of course. Definitely watched season 2. but 3 and 4 definitely did not watch. So I had been kind of away. And then, you know, you guys started talking about it. And there was this whole controversy. And I was like, well, of course, I got to watch this now. So I think in terms of a production, you know, par for the course, right? In the Queens, in the area of the Queens, what I love about this season is you're getting a lot more of the diversity of regions in the UK for Queens to hail from, and some really interesting personalities that are emerging that I'm interested in. One of my favorite is Kate Butch, not just because Kate's got a fantastic name, playing off of obviously Kate Bush, but also just being a really smart and funny queen in her own right. I also really like Banksy. Banksy is serving non-binary realness in a very cool way that reminds me of Piranha Psychotronica that she's going by now, or they're going by from our friends at Media Meltdown. So every time I see Banksy, I'm just like, ah, it's like, it's just so cool to see someone like that represented, who's not going for strong, you know, fishy looks all the time, but is sort of in that non-binary queen space that I really think is still relatively underexplored, though definitely way more in the last few years than had been popularly explored. There's one more that I am trying to find. I don't know. Maybe she's not there anymore. Who's the one that's sort of bearish? Is it?
Ginger Johnson.
Ginger, yeah.
Yeah, I like Ginger mostly because of what he looks like out of drag. His drag's fine. I don't think it's bad. I do.
It's very old school pageant-y drag.
Very much. Yeah. But out of drag, beautiful man, very, very pleasing to those of us who find that form attractive, and very funny too, in his own right, and just very genuine and nice. Those are my favorites. If I had to pick my favorite at this point, I mean, I think Banksy's done the strongest, of course, and I say that, and she's probably already been eliminated, but. Because that's always how this happens. If I like a queen, they are going to get eliminated more times than not. But
should we tell them, Eric?
I don't care. Tell me. Should we already tell them? Yeah.
The most recent queen to be eliminated.
Yeah. Well, okay. So she made it pretty far. Okay.
Halfway through the season. Enough. She made it through like two eliminations.
That's fair.
five episodes. She was the third queen eliminated.
Listen. She had some very strong outings during that time. So
yeah, I mean, honestly, I'll spoiler alert, jumping ahead. I did not think they were going to send Banksy home, and then the lip sync happened.
It was the lip sync. Because everything going into that lip sync said that the other person was going to go home, and then the lip sync happened, and there was no way based on that lip sync. You could have given it to Banksy.
That's the worst. I mean, so there you go. I mean,
they didn't even show her that much during the lip sync, which they could do it. I mean, Pearl sent Trixie home, and we know Trixie's not an amazing lip syncer, but that Pearl Trixie lip sync, Trixie won that one, and they still made it somewhat believable that they could do it. But no, that was Aditi. She was up against
It was Aditi.
Yeah. And that look, Dee Dee's look was far fucking superior. But anywho, we're skipping ahead to the end. We're skipping to the last page of the book.
Banksy started the season very strong. I thought she was a lock in for the finals based on the first couple episodes.
And a very interesting story. I'm assuming that Banksy identifies as non-binary, but I thought that they were trans, and the next episode that you will watch, if you keep watching, Brian, is a take on Masterclass. It's kind of like the DragCon panels that they've done for the US series, and Banksy talks about their partner transitioning from male to female and having to kind of like deal with the am I a gay man? And like the way that they were speaking about it, it was very interesting, especially because of the presentation, like kind of the non-binary presentation, but still having that mindset of like, they are a gay man. Like they are, you know, and then having to realize and go on that journey themselves and all that. Like it was very interesting to see and to hear, especially on Drag Race. So
anyone who ever, like, I mean, having someone who's trans or non-binary or multiple, like, people in your life like that, you will learn so much. But I do appreciate the episode I just watched had Caramel talking about her gender journey. And it's relatively recent. I think that she was saying that she's been on at least hormones. But, like, understanding that process, I think one of the best things that Drag Race can do as a cultural phenomenon is not just explore drag, but explore those individuals' journeys and how honest and direct and just because they don't tart those moments up. They're very clear to make those like genuine, not sensationalized, you know, very nice moments. It's the same thing like We Are Here is doing. Like that is the best thing we can have right now is just very honest stories of these individuals' lives so that people who need to, and not, I don't know if they'll really watch it, but at least it exists and could be shown to people who just don't fucking get why or how hard it is to deal with all that. So I'm glad that they're having more non-binary characters, stories, whatever, all the different trans people they've had, like did Canada start yet? Or it's coming up very soon.
It's coming soon.
Trans man performer, as well. So like we're getting just more exploration of the reality of queer culture out there. So I'm very excited for those kind of stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric, thoughts on the first half of the season, the queens, who's shining to you from the cast so far?
My faves are kind of similar to Brian's, because I tend to gravitate towards the camp queens, the comedy queens, mm-hmm. more so than those that are just the looks queens. Although Tamara's growing on me as the season's gone on a bit.
Her sense of humor
has been coming out.
You mean the love child of Danny Beard and Ahura?
Yes.
Who looks like Demi Moore in drag? Yes, it is.
Oh my God. Thank you for saying that. They probably say that at some points during it. But
Rue says it. Yeah. And that's the only reason it stuck out. After she said that, I was like, I don't think I see. And then I'm like, oh no. Okay. Yep.
Holy cow.
It's weird because I'm the opposite's happening for me with Vicky Vivacious.
Mm.
I thought, oh, she's super fun. And then kind of as the episodes are going on, I'm not jiving with her personality as much. Someone that Brian didn't mention is I like Michael Maruli. Michael Maruli.
Michael Maruli. Yo, I'm Michael Maruli.
Did she explain her name at some point? Is that just her name?
That's just her name.
She uses her boy name.
I figured I just missed it, and I was like, Michael.
I think it's talked about in the first episode. I think there is a talking head where they go, like they kind of explain that, but I think it's to kind of be like to stand apart that they're just using their government name, their legal name.
Yeah, I think that Kate Butch is hilarious. Love the comedy aspect to her, but she's like using Tia Coffey's drag closet. And she is not going to make the finale just because she doesn't have that level of looks to her yet.
She's very much being given the Ben de la Creme, Katya, Latrice, very much a fifth place, lovable queen edit. Jamie was like, I love Kate Butch, but she's being given an early out exit or an early out edit.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's an early out edit. I think it is that lovable misses the end game, but will be really liked by the fans.
Mm-hmm. Whereas Ginger is funny, but is way more polished,
mm-hmm.
and I think can make the finale pretty easily. Didi-licious, I do not care for her, and she is very lucky that Banksy gave us nothing in that lip sync.
Go on,
just
girl.
The whole
give
time
us
that lip sync was going on, I just kept hearing, Charlie, move,
do something, Charlie. She was the definition of go on, girl, give us nothing.
Exactly. She thought she was doing a Latrice Park and Bark, and it just was not there.
No.
Caramel started strong, but just I don't know. She's just so flat personality wise for me. I don't see it. Yeah, and Naomi Carter was cute, but she was never going to make the finale anyways, even before she hurt her knee or whatever.
Her own stupid ass fucking running into the other queen. Listen, when Drag Race hurts you, I'm sympathetic. When you hurt yourself on Drag Race, ma'am, what the fuck are you doing? Any thoughts on the first couple of challenges or like the first five kind of things?
I thought the premiere episode gave a little bit of an interesting twist in that the entrance look was counted towards the elimination. I thought that was interesting and might influence future entrance looks a little bit. Because typically people are just kind of wearing something they would photograph well, but yeah. can move a bit in. So it might inspire people to elevate it a little more. Let's see here. Design challenge was design challenge. I didn't think the song for Don't Ick My Yum was Ew. That great at all.
You hate that. You hate those lyrics.
I hate Don't Ick My Yum so much. The ick. Gross.
But do you like yuck better?
Yes, absolutely. There's something about ick that I just don't. Ugh.
Don't my yuck ick. My yum also flows better off the tongue.
Yes. Oh, there's an alliterative. Sure. There's an alliterative quality to Don't Yuck My Yum.
Yeah. I thought the disaster classes were okay. They weren't red table talks, so, or pink table talks, rather. And then I thought the Risical was good. I didn't think it was necessarily as amazing as the judges made it sound, but everyone performed well. But the bottom two were the bottom two. For sure. And I also, just watching it once, I didn't necessarily... I think the safe queens were the safe queens.
Yeah. Oh, I agree there.
Yeah, and then I enjoyed Kate Butch's runway on that one.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad.
I mean, I understand that, yes, she didn't show her arms at all, but the illusion was there that she still had sleeves and whatnot. It wasn't like she came out in Jasmine Master's cocoon and just walked down the aisle.
You're talking Ginger.
Yeah, Ginger.
Yeah, you said Kate.
With no arms.
Yeah, you said Kate. Kate's runway.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, Ginger Johnson's dress.
Yes, okay, arms. No, that was cute. And I mean, she deserved the win. I thought Kate's, it wasn't really mirror, but I didn't think it was a bad looking runway.
No, definitely the torso up, I thought was really nice. The skirt kind of went all over the place. And yeah. she did not need to do the big cape reveal thing.
Yeah. I'd have taken that cape off earlier. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like in the back. just right.
It did not add anything. It wasn't a well-constructed cape. It detracted from everything.
Yeah. No, I'd have to agree with you on a lot of that. As far as from an episode standpoint, I don't think they have much more to add. I thought that the Panto Rusical was actually really good. I actually kind of liked it better than, I was like, what was the last one? And then Lucy LaDuca's voice just resounded in my head. Wig Loose.
Yeah.
But it was another case of the person who wins the Rusical is like that one like show-stopping number versus somebody who really kind of had more of a part. So it was like, all right.
I mean, yeah, I didn't necessarily understand all the love that they gave to, I mean, I thought they were good, but they were raving over Michael and Vicky's performances, and they were good. They were very competent and everything, but I thought Kate and Ginger were kind of head and shoulders above them, but then Kate's runway definitely brought her down underneath Ginger. So it made sense there.
And who wouldn't want to be under Ginger? Oh, what? Sorry. Because there was one point in like the first episode, maybe second episode, where Ginger's getting dressed and is topless, like in the workroom. And I was like, who let that crew member into the workroom shirtless?
What's Sarge doing in there? Like, what's happening?
Exactly. Sorry, I need you behind the camera again. Please get out of the workroom. And then I was like, okay, never mind. You're cute. Stay there. And like, I don't know. There's something about Ginger Johnson out of drag that's like very like 80s like fisherman poet in the confessional look. That's like, all right. It's like, it's a throwback fun look. The only thing I will say, like, I like a lot of the similar queens. Caramel gets on my last fucking nerve. And I think it's because she is very emotionally raw, and her getting upset over, why didn't you pick me? Why did you say this in front of RuPaul? And then bringing shit up in front of RuPaul and then getting mad at Tamara. It's very Ahura and Tace from season three? Four? Whatever season they were on.
Three.
The cheek, the nerve.
No, two.
Was a horror two?
Two, because Crystal Versace was three.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. No. Yeah, because then Veronica came back on season three, and then a horror was like, made that comment before the season about her going home early. That's right. Yes, season two. My bad. Brian's like, I saw that season. I know.
That's what I was like yelling at my my muted microphone. I'm like, no, I watched that one. That's right. Anyway,
you're like, I know those queens.
I can contribute.
But it very much is giving that kind of energy, and considering they both kind of act like Tace and Ahura, it's very much giving me that energy. Great queen, very talented, looks are stunning. Mm-hmm. The energy and the attitude there sometimes is a little rough for me to watch, but I really enjoy Ginger. I feel like Ginger is going to be a top queen that doesn't win. She's very much giving me, and I think she's drag child of Cheddar Gorgeous, right?
One of them is.
I forget who. She's giving me very much a Cheddar Gorgeous edit. Will do really well. Very polished. Very much.
I think Banksy was Cheddar.
Is it? Oh, maybe it was Banksy. I think you might be right. My apologies. But Ginger Johnson's giving me very much the Cheddar Gorgeous edit of this. We'll do well. We'll be a final queen, but we'll not win it.
Banksy is Cheddar's daughter.
That's okay. Thank you. But yeah, overall, you know, some of the queens are a little forgettable. Like, I was like, oh, Alexa St. Pete, I forgot about her. but she was there. But overall, there were some fun personalities. It is interesting. We don't ever want to compare queens to queens, but I mean, the archetypes are all there, and they're really just starting to make me feel like I'm watching repeats of other queens being on the show, especially when two or three of them are melded into one person, like Tamara Thomas. But but overall, I think it's a strong cast, and it's been a fun season so far. Nothing really, aside from the drama that's not shown on TV, has made it something, you know, there's nothing extraordinary about it, but nothing that has made it a season where I don't want to watch. It's not Italy. So I'm enjoying getting through this season. But before we sign off, let's wrap up the conversation now. We can revisit the season once it's over and we've crowned our season 5 winner. But before we do that, let's give speculation on who we think. We'll do top 2. We'll give our 2 top queens of the season. Brian knows not to pick Banksy now. At least we've spared you that. And
I'm terrified to pick anybody though, because you guys.
Well, don't pick Miss Naomi Carter or Banksy, and you'll be okay.
Oh,
you've got Dee Delicious, Tamara Thomas, Caramel, Vicky Vivacious, Michael Maruli, Kate Butch, and Ginger Johnson to choose from.
I will go with Michael Maruli, and I don't know why entirely. I think that like. There's something great there, but it's just, I don't know. But top 2, at least her And let's go with somebody like, I don't know, Vicky Vivacious in there too, I guess. I don't know.
All right. All right. Eric, you're a top two.
I think my hope is for Ginger Johnson, and I think the other one is going to be Tamara Thomas.
Damn, you stole mine. Yeah. Literally.
Based on the way that Rue has just been reacting to Tamara so far on stage and production, I think she's a shoo-in for the finals for sure.
Yeah, my top two are Ginger and Tamara. I think Caramel will be in there as a top three. I don't know if they're
doing
top three.
But Michael Marilli is also really strong. I think that's probably a good top four.
Who was the other one? I'm sorry.
Kara, Tamara, Michael, and Ginger.
Yeah, yeah. I could see that being a top four for sure. But yeah, we'll see what happens. We got a couple more weeks of Drag Race UK Season 5. But in the meantime, go check us out online, flameonshow.com. Hit us up on social media. Let us know what you think of Season 5 Drag Race UK. Tell us who your top two picks are, who you think will be standing there at the end. It's usually a top four, but let's see your top two. And we'll reconvene after the season is over and see if we any of us were right on our final girl selections. And until next time, bye, y'all.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.